Hi, it's John Williams. So here we go. As we work our way into the Labor Day weekend, we talk about, markets and personal finance with Terry Savage. By the way, we'll also get the business of food segment with Steve Alexander in a little bit. And I'll just report that the candy corn crop has come in at my house. And the candy corn crop is very good this year.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for the update.
I don't know what a candy corn day is. Terry, that's one of my irresistible treats. If it's on the counter, I just kind of mosey over there and snag a few.
Oh, absolutely. I wish you hadn't told me, because now that I know it's out and fresh, there's nothing like fresh candy corn. If you leave it too long, it, you know, gets stale and chewy. But fresh candy corn? Oh, my goodness.
So let's talk a little bit about unemployment, jobs, and numbers to start today. Terry, what's on your mind about all of that?
Well, it's very interesting. As Steve reported, so I don't need to go over the numbers. The new jobs creation was a little disappointing. This is such an unusual time. And the economists are debating all along, you know, well, is this because of the latest Delta factor? And people aren't going back to shopping and to restaurants and so forth. But wait, there are help wanted signs everywhere. So how could this be that no new jobs? Is it because single parents, and all families actually, were uncertain about sending their kids back to school, and could they go back to work or go get a job? And what happens now is unemployment benefits run out just about everywhere in the country. There are still 3.2 million Americans who have been on unemployment 6 months. So there's going to be a big impact with that. And it's like a churning water. And in the middle of that comes a bank rate study, the August Job Seeker Survey, that says approximately 55% of American adults are planning to switch jobs.
Yeah.
And nearly twice as many Gen Z, 18 to 24, and millennial, 25 to 40 workers, as baby boomers, said they're hunting for new employment soon, like 77% of the Gen Z and 63% of the millennials say they're out looking, they're ready to switch, and they're concerned about not just the job itself, but the benefits, and can you work from home? And so we're having kind of a revolution on this Labor Day in our labor force. On the one hand, you've got jobs going begging. On the other hand, you've got people saying, I don't want to. Oh, and add to that mix, a surprising number of people who retired permanently from the labor force. And they're seniors who maybe picked up another 20, 30 hours a week part-time work just to add to their income. And they say, it's too chancy now, especially with COVID. We're not going back. So it's very hard to read the tea leaves here. Believe me, it is. I have no idea what comes next. If we get through this variant and we get more vaccinations and the economy picks up steam, this could look wonderful by Christmas time. It would.
I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people, Terry, think that part of the explanation for what you're talking about is that the unemployment benefits have been there and or been too generous. And as those end, those people are going to have to go back to work. But I don't know that it's that simple. Like you said, some people are retired and don't have to go back to work. Some people have decided they don't like work enough and would rather just take what they can get. I mean, there's just a number of factors there. Obviously, some people, their kids are going back to school, so now they will go back to work. But I'm just really curious about those 10 million people and what their decision-making process is. I wonder what's going to happen with them.
Exactly. And that's what economists are saying. It's not an argument pro or against or growth or no growth. If there are just so many factors that I can list them all for you and you can draw a line down the middle. One says, well, we'll have strong economic growth, COVID will fade, and people will come back to work, and besides, they won't have these benefits. And they're just so frisky that when I think about just switching jobs, it's going to be interesting. And on the other possibility is that, hey, COVID really derails things. We have this issue with children in schools and whether it's safe for them to go, and the parents that have to stay home if they decide it's not safe, or things happen in the schools and the kids are sent home. So I wouldn't want to be an economist making forecasts like this.
Well, let's do this. 312-981-7200. We've got calls on hold about car loans, about Social Security benefits. Maybe you've got one, too. Okay, Terry Savage, all the phone lines are ringing for you.
Okay.
Are you ready to take some calls?
Can I slip one by you first? I didn't plan this with you, but I just noticed. And what reminded me was you were talking about Bitcoin in the break, which is hanging in around $50,000. But I just want to point out that Gold today, Gold reminds me of my sleeping dog. He's old. He rolls over and just, you know, lies there on his back. And that's what Gold has done. Except today, after this report, Gold is up $18 to up $21 to $18.32. That's a pretty significant high on the charts, or a move on the charts, I should say. And what's it all about? Maybe Gold finally thinks there's inflation, that the Fed certainly won't tighten up and the taper in the next couple of months if the economy is weak. And it also noted in the unemployment report that wages have crept up at a slightly faster rate. So, Adam, this is not a recommendation. It's just, it struck me. I haven't talked about gold in a long, long time because it's just been sleeping there. But today it woke up.
Interesting point. Okay, here come some of your phone calls now. Let's start with, looks like, line one. Margaret, maybe we can help you. You're on WGN. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your problem?
I have a question regarding Social Security. I'm 67. I work full-time. I have no plans for retirement. I have a friend also with the same age. She told me the other day, and she works full-time, works for the same company. She told me she's been collecting Social Security since she's 65, and there's no limitations with as to how much money she, you know, could make. Is that true?
It's true, but Margaret, don't she did the wrong thing, okay?
That's
and I'll tell you why.
Okay, that's what I thought. Go ahead.
You can collect Social Security actually at your full retirement age. When she was 65, there were some limitations that cut into her Social Security benefit. But the fact is that the longer you wait to take it, the higher the base pay you will get, and that is the base. Not only you'll get a higher monthly check forever, but that's the base on which future inflation adjustments are made. So it, I know that everybody, I must have gotten a dozen questions called, what am I going to do? I just read that Social Security is going to run out of money. It's going to run out of money. I want to tell you something. For sure they will print the money for Social Security. There are just too many of us. It would be political suicide for any administration to talk about limiting or cutting benefits, for especially for middle-class people who are highly reliant on Social Security. So the rule is, especially if you're working, especially yes, you can, once you're full retirement age, you can collect Social Security and keep working, and you'll, of course, pay Social Security taxes on the earnings you make now. But the goal is to hold off until age 70, and then take it. You get the higher base. And if there is inflation, we're just talking about that, the future cost of living adjustments will come on a higher base. So this, the superstitious, the emotional aspect, oh, they're going to run out, oh, my break-even point is, that's not it. It's getting the high base so that any inflation, we're going to get a 6.2% at least inflation adjustment this year because of what we've seen in inflation. You'd rather have that on a much higher base.
Good question, Margaret. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Let's go next to Kathy on line two. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for being here, Terry, for taking out time from your busy day for us. My question is about getting pre-approved for a loan for a car. I have never done that before. I've always just gone into a dealership and gone with their financing, and I've been told that that's not a very smart way to go about it. So
okay, I once did a series when I was working full-time. I forget whether it was Channel 5 or Channel 7. I'll never forget that. I talked about the fact, it was a learning experience for me, it was a long time ago, that auto dealers typically make more on the financing than they make on the car, the financing and the add-ons. The financing guy comes out, you know, well, we got to get approval. So it is very wise to get, first of all, the first thing you ought to think about is, how can I pay cash for my car? Because that gets you the biggest deal. And because then you can go online, KBB, Kelley Blue Book, or other sites, and compare the real, true factory cost of that car and see who will give you the better deal with the same equipment. It's the financing where people get messed up on that. Well, my payment's only going to be $327 a month, and here it would be $412. But over the total cost of the car, over the life of the loan, you're going to wind up likely paying a lot more because they've tricked you into either a longer loan, different add-ons, and the ordinary person can't figure it out. So, number one, the best way to buy a car is to buy it for cash. And number two, by all means, if you have a credit union or a bank that will make that kind of a loan, find out exactly what the price and what the rate is. But more than that, you have to be very, very careful. Don't just look at the price you'll pay every month. You'll have to look at the cost of the car first, and then what the cost of the finance. So first you have to negotiate the price of the car. And then you think, well, I got a great deal. That looks right. And then they add on the financing with the rates and the charges and the surcharges, and that's where they make their money.
But outside of the car dealership, do you tend to get a better rate, Terry?
At a credit union, you might very well get a better rate. And it depends on what extras that car dealership is snapping on. I had someone call me from a car dealership, must be 6 or 8 months ago, saying, you know, I had my deal, I was ready, and I came in, and they added $1,500 for the, I won't mention the name of the dealership, the dealership super-duper something-something or other. And she said, I was paying cash for this, and I told him I didn't want it. No, you can't buy it without this. So there's a lot of, you know, you have to take my son with you when you go buy a car.
Or my
he's
dad.
Because car guy.
Yeah. Okay, let's leave it there. I hope that helps. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGM. Terry Savage for one more segment and lots of calls for you, Terry. You ready to roll
let's
for more?
It. Yep.
Let's go to line number one. Pat, how can we help you? You're on WGN.
Hi. Yes, I worked all my life in the private sector, paid into Social Security, and just got a job that's I'm paying into a pension. Wondered how that's going to affect my numbers when it comes to retirement age.
Well, you're still they're still taking Social Security out of your paycheck as well as a pension, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're collecting Social Security, and when it comes time for you to sign up for benefits, they'll look at your 10 years of your highest earnings. So the longer you work and the more you make, the better it is. And I'm not sure whether you, if you're paying in, you're paying into a 401k plan, which is great. That's a, you'll have more money at retirement. Doesn't impact Social Security positively or negatively. It just gives you more money at retirement. And if the company has a pension, it probably vests. So very few offer that now unless you're in the public sector. So unless you're in a public sector job, this is not going to impact your Social Security benefits.
Yeah, I think, Pat, are you wondering if the fact that they're paying into your pension plan means they're not paying into Social Security? But that's not the case.
Yeah, that you know, I'm kind of embarrassed. I haven't looked recently at a pay stub, and I'm pretty new. So, and I am a part-timer, but I did pay into many years into the 401k and just wondered how that might affect my numbers, you know, come retirement. But
Social Security, like it, based on your work history for qualified employment, so we'll leave aside the public sector, which has a special deal. So just keep working and keep accumulating Social Security credits, but they'll take the highest earnings years. And that's another reason why you should sign up for the 401k. Yeah. They probably defaulted you into their plan, which is good.
Good luck, Pat. We appreciate your call.
And
we'll go.
Thank you.
We'll go from you to Gail on line four. I think it's Gail. No, it's what is the name on line four? That is Candace. Hey, Candace, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a. I also have a Social Security question. Similar, but Terry, I do have a federal pension, so the amount of Social Security has already been reduced substantially. But here's the question: I didn't think I'd get another job. I got another job right away. My first Social Security payment is due to be paid to me in November. Should I freeze that and wait? My full retirement age would be July of 2022.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Otherwise, they'll ding you a little bit on your Social Security payments anyway. Contact Social Security immediately and in writing and get a response in writing and defer your first payment to the birthday after you turn full retirement age, or even longer if you're making some good money and you don't need it.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's part-time, but it's still more than what I would have gotten from the Social Security. Because
okay, yeah, like have them defer it, because the longer you defer it, the bigger your base check will be.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad we heard them both. Good luck to you, Candace. Ruth, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Ruth?
I had a question for Terry. Could she explain exactly what Bitcoin is and exactly what cryptocurrency is? I really don't understand any of that terminology.
Okay, Ruth, are you online? Do you go online? I want you to go to
terrysavage.com. No, I do not have that.
You need to get a friend who will take you online to terrysavage.com, and there's a little box there that says columns, search columns, and put the word Bitcoin in, because I think we only have a few more minutes. And okay. I would love to do it, but John won't give me the time.
I will not.
Okay.
I will not.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice.
It's
thank you very much.
Electronic money, Ruth.
Okay.
But you know what? Another day, Terry, let's do that. Let's just sort of explain cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and stuff like that to people. Some of them are synonyms. Some of them are types of things. Some of them are competing things.
I would love to do that. And I have an idea for a couple of guests. Remember, we've done that before on some occasions.
Yep.
When we have time to set up a show. I think that would be really a great service. And I've got an idea for a couple of people that I'd like to bring in.
If we don't do that next Wednesday, maybe the Wednesday after. Stay tuned, everybody. Yeah. Katie, you're next on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Katie.
Hi there. Hi, Terry. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
I have a question. So I'm 23. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for just about a year now. And I have about $25,000 in my savings account, and I don't really know what to do with it. What am I supposed to be investing in?
Well, wow, that's the best call I've had all day. And if you will let our producer take your address, mailing address, I'm going to send you a copy of The Savage Truth on Money, the edition that's out just 2 years. And I will show you how to open a Roth IRA and how to set up a plan where you automatically transfer some of that money every month into a mutual fund, which can grow over the years for the next 50 years. It's fabulous that you're a nurse. It's a career we need more of, obviously. And I just have one question for you. How did you get through nursing school without debt and with $25,000 in the bank?
My parents very graciously paid for my schooling. So once I graduated, I didn't have any debt. But throughout school, I worked very hard, and I was saving a lot. So.
Well, I want you to have the book, so please, Pete Zimmerman, our producer, could you make sure you get this number? And if not, send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com, with your address, and I will make sure it gets out to you. Because I got you at a young age, and you've got the right mentality, and you could work your way to wealth.
Yeah, no
Thank
kidding.
So $25,000
in the bank at 23. I don't have $25,000 in the bank. That's impressive.
But you're
Good
remodeling
for you.
Your house.
Yeah, but I got a lovely sofa. All right, we're out of time. Terry Savage, let's pursue all of the things we said we'll do in future shows, and thank you for helping us on this one. That's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Okay, let's continue now with more business news. On the Wintrust Business Lunch, this is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Kraft Heinz says it'll pay a $62 million civil penalty to settle an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission into its accounting policies, procedures, and internal controls. The food and beverage product company does not admit or deny findings in the administrative order issued by the SEC and agrees to cease and desist from violations of specified provisions of federal
Kevin
security
Wells.
Laws. Two patients are suing DuPage Medical Group after a cyber attack, alleging it didn't do enough to protect patients' personal information. They also blame the medical group for not informing patients of the data breach quickly enough. The plaintiffs are seeking financial damages and improvements to DuPage Medical's security systems. 600,000 patients had their data compromised. DuPage Medical has offered to cover the cost of patient credit monitoring and identity theft protection. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now with candy corn futures, here's Steve Alexander.
Well, I'm happy for you, John. I'm glad your crop has come in. On this very radio station this week and on WGN-TV, Dean Richards has been talking about all the ways he has been cooking tomatoes. And it gave me flashbacks to my childhood and the tomato jelly my grandma used to make. Yes, it is just as bad as it sounds. Jim Fazell, have you ever tried tomato jelly?
No, I haven't. I haven't partaken of that, fortunately, maybe.
Well, trust me, you're not missing anything. So it's a Mr. Fizz Friday with our gardening guru, and I guess summer's over?
Isn't that something? Fall has begun. This is already fall meteorologically. That started the 1st of September. A lot of things that need to be done at this time of year and getting prepared. You know, snow will fly in about 2 months in some areas. In fact, our good friend Greg Solier says we may have a bit of a frost or even a freeze by the end of this month. One of the things that I really want to encourage people to do is to keep picking the veggies. Don't let them waste on the vine. You may not have time except to go out in the evening and pick your tomatoes or whatever it is, but be sure you keep doing it. And as long as you keep picking them, as long as the weather is nice, they're going to keep coming along for you. Also, some of the things we don't need to pick, even if it's going to freeze, because things like carrots and beets and parsnips and even broccoli will stand a freeze. And some of these things get even sweeter if you let them have a little bit of a freeze. In fact, parsnips, my grandma used to say, don't pull your parsnips up until they froze. Another thing I like to do this time of year is plant fall flowers. Mums, they're available in the garden centers right now, all kinds of beautiful colors. And the fall icicle pansies. People don't think about planting pansies in the fall, but that's a wonderful time to do it. And the icicle pansies will make it through the winter, and in spring they'll bloom for you beautifully until you get hot weather.
Lots to do. Thank you, Mr. Fizz. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, beans, and wheat are mixed right now. Corn is down about a quarter of a penny, but beans are getting back some of what was lost over the last week, up about 10 cents a bushel right now. Still not back into the teens, though, $12.93 a bushel. Wheat is trading about 9 cents higher at $7.25 a bushel. Corn right now is at 5.25 a bushel. From the farm to your belly, today's National Chianti Day, and an important one, it's National Food Bank Day. Tomorrow is National Spice Blend Day, National Macadamia Nut Day. Sunday, National Cheese Pizza Day. Labor Day is National Coffee Ice Cream Day, and every day is Candy Corn Day. Enjoy. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Labor Day weekend. I don't know if that's a big eating out weekend or not. I know that the Jewish holidays are coming. Rosh Hashanah is September 6th. That's Labor Day. Let's talk a little bit about that and about the business, especially with the new turn the COVID is taking, with our Jay Melman, president of Let Us Entertain You Enterprises. Hey, RJ, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Great to be here.
So just before we go to Rosh Hashanah, just talk to me, and I know you guys have menus, and we can delve into that a little bit, but just tell me how's business and what's going to happen with the latest Delta variant and some of the setbacks in terms of masks and things. Kind of update me on how your restaurants are doing.
Yeah, things are going pretty well still, and certainly a nice recovery. We're still seeing a lot of people want to dine out. The nice thing is that for people who aren't feeling safe and want to stay home, there's always been to-go options and delivery options for them. But, I wish I could tell you I know exactly where the world of the Delta variant is going, but, you hope that it goes in the same direction that it went in Europe and where the Delta variant sort of peaked after 2 months, and you really hope that that's what's happening. But, it's totally hard for me to say.
Your restaurants, though, are still full capacity, right? So if people have to be vaccinated or wear a mask indoors, it's not like they've cut capacity by any percentage, right?
Correct. Yeah. Dining out, at least in the city of Chicago, is exactly the same. Masking is required to come and travel through the common spaces, and that's about it. So
let's talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. How's it going?
Yeah, my favorite holiday, or at least a special one for us. We celebrated it growing up, and we weren't a religious family, but it was always a nice time to get the family together for a lovely dinner. And Rosh Hashanah is Monday and Tuesday this next week, September 6th and 7th. A lot of our restaurants offer special menus in addition to their regular menus for pickup: Abba, Ema, RPM Steak, Mon Ami Gabi, Summer House, Osteria Viestato, Joe's, Serenello's, Di Pescara, and Wildfire, and a few more, I think, are all doing special menus that people can take home if they want to just dine at home with their families and not do the cooking, or they can eat in the restaurants as well with different options that are all available on our websites.
What's specific to Rosh Hashanah? How does the food have to be prepared, or what does that mean?
Well, I think we do a somewhat maybe American traditional Rosh Hashanah meal. A lot of the restaurants are doing brisket, matzo ball soup. There's a lot of traditional items that all have different interpretations and different families to them, and we do our spins on them as well.
So did you just answer my question? What's the go-to dish for you?
My favorite is the brisket. I'm a sweet and sour brisket guy. My mom would make that growing up, and then a little matzo ball soup to start is like a perfect meal for me. Definitely reminds me of my childhood and great family meals.
Segments like this just kill me. It's 12:56. This is so lunchtime. And then you say sweet and sour brisket, and my cheeks start to salivate. You know what I mean?
That's the goal, right? And hey, you don't even have to be Jewish to like this food. You can like it no matter what. So.
Well, and I'm not, and you're right. I don't even think about that in those terms. But maybe this is the time I need to explore some extra culture in my cuisine.
Yeah. I like that. You never have to be the culture that the food is from to try to enjoy it. So.
Yeah, no kidding. And then one last thing about that. So that sweet and sour brisket, is that at all the restaurants or just one of the restaurants?
A lot of them have variations of them. RPM Steak has a great one that Chef Eddie over there I know has been doing. That's what I'm doing for my family on Monday night. So that's where I go. But there are a ton of choices doing various items. All of it is on LEYE.com. And it lists all the menus and all the restaurants that are participating in Rosh Hashanah because there's just too many to list here.
Continued success, RJ. Stay well.
Thank you for having us, or me, and thank you very much.
RJ Melman, President, Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, LEYE.com.